Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
What they don't know is when they go home and get behind closed doors, maybe hit the floor, and what they can't see is your own your need. So the next time they get a shot of time,
Thank you.
By the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. So happy to have each and every one of you all, especially those that are listening by way of internet. We are grateful for you, and we appreciate your faithfulness and diligence as well. I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon if she'll get us started this week with a word of prayer, and we'll get into the lesson. Evangelist Sharon.
Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Good afternoon, Pastor Bell. Good afternoon to all the listeners. And praise God. What do you see when you see me? It's the God in me. That's one of my favorite, Pastor. Praise the Lord. In the King James, I believe it is, 14 through 16, 1 Corinthians 2. I'm sorry, it's the Messenger. But I would like to read this to you guys. And it reads as follows. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he's doing has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for another perfect day, and thank you for giving us a roadmap, just knowing that we have Christ's Spirit and that we submit Christ. Everything is really mapped out for us. Even for those who can't read or write, haven't been to school, don't have degrees, haven't been to college, because guess what? God comes to us one by one in his Spirit and teaches us firsthand. And it says that in the scripture above the one that I read. Praise God. I want to pray for those who are sick, for those who are shut in, for those who are bereaved, for those who are us to remember them in prayer, and for those who are struggling, for all those who are going through medical procedures, recovery, know that we are all healed by God's stripes, period. I pray for this broadcast, and I bind anything up that comes in between this broadcast. I bind it up with the blood of Jesus. And I also want to say a special shout out to Evangelist Renee, who's always given us wonderful sandwiches and scriptures to meditate on. Praise God. I pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Sharon, for that beautiful prayer. Do you you have your Messenger Bible? Can you read from Messenger Bible today? Evangelist Sharon.
Yes, I'm sorry. Praise God.
Are you able to read from the Messenger Bible?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, all right. Well, I want to begin this discussion because I'm asking God, Lord, why people are not getting this? And he showed me because of unbelief. And unbelief in the true and living word. But sister, I'm going to tell you right now, you got to know that when you can open this up and see the reality of truth, it's not a phenomenon. I mean, you might think it is, But it's really not. All you got to do is be willing to open up your spirit. And I continue to ask God, Lord, why they're not getting this? And the Lord told me that people treat the Bible like a common book.
Yes.
And I was blown away, man. It hurts. So today I want to talk about the reality of the new and living way, the reality of this new life. There has to be some reality there. And unless you see it through the word of God, like that scripture she just read, brothers and sisters, this is going to be foolishness to you. The only way you're going to be able to get it is you're going to have to become spiritual, because there's a lot of family members, a lot of friends, a lot of people associated with, they're not getting it. And it's two reasons. First of all, because of their unbelief, according to Hebrews 4. And secondly, they treat the word of God like it's a common book. And it's not. You have to treat the word of God for what it's worth. The word of God is life, brothers and sisters. Hebrews 4 and 12. It's a living thing. And I looked up that word. It really means to be active, boldly, mentally strong, force, active, healthy. Along with that, it means to be vigorous. And I got looking at that thing. Do you know when you get the word of God, that's what you got in you? You got life in you. Yeah, you got life. You got the life of Christ living in you, because the word of God became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, if it was the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you get the word in you and stop treating it like it's some common book, and stop treating it like it's a magazine you read like the other day, and treat it like this is your life, man. This is your life. This, everything you do going forward is predicated on the word of God, your salvation, everything. And this is the truth. And you got to want to have that truth in you for it to become a reality, okay? So that's what we're dealing with.
Amen.
You know? And when I read Hebrews 5 and 12, but before I go there, I think I want to do the that whole fifth chapter, man, of Hebrews. It just describes to how people just treat the word of God, and it hurts. Listen, family, people who don't have the word in them, they have no independence. People that don't have the word in them, they're like mere men. That's all they are. But in the, they're like, yes, 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 man, yes, man, yes, man. Because they don't, and they're putting yes in the wrong places. So Paul really described these people over here in Ephesians 5. And I think I'm going to read the whole thing. I'm going to ask Pastor Shear read it out of the King James Version. And then I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon if she'll read it out of the Messenger Bible. So in Hebrews 5, and let's read the first three verses. Then we're going to read the next three verses, and we're going to talk about it. Then we're going to read the 12th verses where I really want to get to. So right now, if you will, Pastor, read the first. Matter of fact, read the first six verses. We'll discuss it like that. Read Hebrews 5, 1 through 6.
Amen. Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, Hebrews 5, 1 through 6. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, and by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sin. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen.
Amen. And the messenger, it reads as follows. Every high priest selected to represent men and women before God and offer sacrifices for their sins should be able to deal gently with their failings, since he knows what it's like from his own experience. But that also means that he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as the people's. No one elects himself to this honored position. He's called to it by God, as Aaron was. Neither did Christ presume to set himself up as high priest, but was set apart by the one who said to him, You're mine today, I celebrate you. In another place, God declares, You're a priest forever in the royal order of Melchizedek. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, you see, people have to get mature. They have to come to a place that they got to stop treating the Word of God as a common book, and especially the book of Hebrews. People, let me tell you, your life is centered around the Bible, period. Your life, the real life, the life Christ wants you to be, the life God wants you to be is right in here. But you can't treat the Bible like a common book, something you read yesterday. And you know what? And because usually what you do, you read a book and you throw it to the side. Oh, I'm finished with that. Let me find something similar to that and read. Or that was a great story. See, that's how people read the Word of God, and you have to stop doing that like that. I know, but God's telling me to tell the people, you can't read the book, the Bible, like it's a common book. Brother told me yesterday, he said, you got that book in you, man. You got that book in you. I said, what you talking about, the Word of God? He said, yeah. And then these people were saying some things. I said, I wish everybody had the book in them. This book. So Paul described that these people in, I tell you what, we'll read from 6 to 12. Read from 6 to 12 now. So, because I want you all to get this whole thing. If you don't know that Christ is our high priest, then you not got to go all the way back to the beginning. Or you met the Lord and get it straight. Because if he's our high priest, the question would be then who's the priest? And if you don't know that you're a priest, part of a royal priesthood, then you're going to miss it all. And just like that scripture Evangelist Sharon read over in 1 Corinthians 2. Listen, brothers and sisters, you have to become spiritual. That's just period. I wish I had another way of telling you that. There is no other way. So when you get born again, that's spiritual. That has nothing to do with the flesh. Spiritual. Or you'll never see this stuff. So you got people out here. So they want to see it and they want to understand it. They want to understand you. Just tell them they can't. Just be honest with them. Go ahead and let them know. And they may think that you're being arrogant. No, you're not. You're telling them just what the scripture said. And if they don't believe it, go over there to 1 Corinthians 2 and say the only way you're going to understand this stuff is you got to become spiritual. See? And then maybe if they truly want it, that's what they'll do. They'll become spiritual so they can get it. If they're interested. You know, sometimes people just want to smash you of what you doing. They jealous of what you got. But if they really wanted, you want them to have it. But they're going to have to become spiritual.
Say that.
Okay. Okay, yeah, read from the 6th through the 12th verse for me there in the King James, Pastor.
Okay, Pastor. As he saideth also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obeyed him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, are become such as high need of milk and not of strong meat. Amen.
Amen. In the Messenger, it reads as follows. While he lived on earth anticipating death, Jesus cried out in pain and wept in sorrow as he offered up priestly prayers to God. Because he honored God, God answered him. Though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. Then, having arrived at the full stature of his maturity and having been announced by God as a high priest in order of Melchizedek, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believingly obey him. Amen. You said the 12 pastors, so we're crucifying Jesus.
Yeah,
okay, I have a lot. Excuse me? Yeah, because
did you read from the 7th verse to the 12th verse?
I just read from 7 to 10. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. We're crucifying Jesus. I have a lot more to say about this, but it is hard to get it across to you since you picked up this bad habit of not listening. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourselves. Yet here I find you need someone to sit down with you and go over the basics on God again, starting from square one.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. See, listen, brothers and sisters, what this really is about, it's about living the life in Christ, the reality of that. And the reality is some people are still on milk. Some people need to go back to basic, the very basic, and understand you got saved, and you got saved for a reason. And if you got saved, what you got saved from, and there are certain principles, and that is to love God. And if you love God, you got to love your neighbor. See,
that's right.
And how you going to love your neighbor if you don't love God? And how you going to love God unless you love your neighbor? So what I said yesterday, I'm standing by it because those are the first principles, that you got to love God and you got to love your neighbor as yourself. And if for no other reason, you ought to protect your neighbor. Love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That's so when I was talking about getting a shot, that's what I was talking about. These are just principles. Principles that you ought to live by anyway. So what Paul's saying here, or the writer is saying here, the writer is saying here that people are taking the word of God and using it like it's some common book. See, anyone that used the word of God, the Bible said they're unskillful because they're using like milk. I mean, they're like babies who's sucking a bottle or sucking from the breast. They're infants when it comes to the Word of God. And the true Word belongs to the spiritual man, which the Bible calls these are strong meat. It belongs to mature Christians, people who have walked the walk and talked the talk, and now they're living the life of a true believer. They stand with the Word of God no matter what. They've been through some valleys, and they've been on some mountains, but they've made this quality decision that they're going to live by the Word of God. So it strongly belongs to them that are poor of age or full age, even those who by reason of using have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And it's a shame. Some people don't know the difference. They don't know reality. They don't know we're supposed to be in Christ.
Have mercy.
I understand it. Believe me, I understand going in the building because I was in there. I know what that's about. But then I got to use reality. The reality is you don't go to church, you be the church.
Amen.
So it's pretty, I don't know, it's just like some people have forgotten this step into this divine life. Instead of walking out into the fullness of the liberty, the riches of his grace, for some reason or another, they halt themselves or they stop themselves. They stop growing. It's like there's been no growth. There's been no development of their life. So the word doesn't mean that you are certain scriptures, I should say, because I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Let me say that first of all. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just saying what the Bible says. Because in Psalms 119, 105, it says the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But when it's going to become a reality to you? See?
Mm-hmm.
But the word, remember, it hurts. But by the same token, it cuts, it bruises, it makes you feel unhappy. When you read it sometimes, but when you understand it spiritually, it's your manna from heaven. It's food for your soul. It's food for your soul. And you need it to grow. If you're going to ever grow and become what God wants us to be, you're going to have to get in the Word, and you're going to have to stay there until it become a reality. And that's what we're talking about, the reality of the Word of God. Because there are certain facts. I told you that word in the Greek means zoa. It means to live, to be full of vigor, to be strong, powerful. So when you read scriptures like, we'll read something like Hebrews 4 and 12. Hebrews 4 and 12.
Okay. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen.
Amen. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourselves, yet here I find you need someone to sit down with you and go over the basics on God. Excuse me. Again, starting from square one, baby's milk when you should have been on solid food long ago. Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature, who have some practice in telling right from wrong. Amen.
Amen. We needed to hear that. We really needed to hear that. Because I want somebody need to hear that. Now she's going to read for us the fourth chapter. That's in the fifth chapter. But I want you to read the fourth chapter, because we need to know. You still obey as long as you're someone has to teach you to pray. Somebody has to hold your hand. People always do. You still obey. You got to start growing. And you got to have that word in you. Because that word is what's alive. That's Christ in you. So if you will read Hebrews 4 and 12, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, Pastor. Praise God. And I thought I was when I started reading it again, but my computer never changed for some reason. It still didn't change yet. And I just went on and read.
We need to hear that. I'm sorry. We need to hear that.
Praise God. Okay, Hebrews 4 and 12. And the messenger reads as follows. God means what he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Amen.
Amen.
It says nothing
and
no one.
Word is a living thing. It's alive. Hey, think of it like this. I'm sorry?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's alive. It's a living thing. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to come alive in your spirit, man. See, a lot of people want the Word of God to be alive in their mind, like a common book. No, brothers and sisters, this is going to change your spirit.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
It's going to change it. And it's telling us how powerful it is. So it's not like a common book, because I didn't book and the meaning thing, see. But when that word get in, it's going to change you. So we must be the word of God, not like a common book any longer. Stop looking at it as though it's just something you read. And, you can believe it. No, that has to be put. That has to stop, brothers and sisters. Honestly, you know, here's a scripture. This is going to be our foundational scripture, our foundational scripture going this week. It's going to be in Matthew 7. We won't discuss it all today, but it will get us going. Because you got to see the reality of it. And if you don't start seeing the reality of this new spiritual life, then it's pointless. So in Matthew 7, and let's see, let's do 24 through 26. Matthew 7.
Okay, Pastor. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Amen.
Amen, amen. And then the messenger reads, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded. A tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock.
Amen.
See, not everyone say unto him, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. See, so many going to say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did not we I prophesied in your name, and did not we cast out devils, and in thy name we done these wonderful works, and then Jesus said, I'm going to profess, I never knew you. How do you not know me? I did your church. I'm the pastor. Jesus, I never knew you. He didn't say you didn't do it. He didn't say why you were doing it. He didn't know you.
Yeah. Amen.
He said, but he did say this. He said, what you were doing, it was of iniquity. I'm going to take a moment and tell you what iniquity is. Iniquity is homemade singing. In other words,
right,
you're going to make something and you're going to call it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he said, these people works, it was of iniquity. He said that your works was of iniquity.
All right.
But he said, now, if you'll hear my sayings, if you'll hear this word and do them, he said, now I'm going to liken you unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Look up that word rock. Same thing he told Peter. He was building his church upon a rock, which was the truth, the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
This is the kind of foundation you want. So that's what I'm telling you. You can tell people, say, well, you know what? I'd like for you to know this. I'd like for you to understand this. But you got to go back to 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, where it talks about the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. You won't receive them. He said, is this going to be foolishness to you? He said, and you won't even understand this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to become spiritual. That's all I'm saying. This is the reality, brothers and sisters. A person got to become spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Or they won't get it.
Yeah. Amen.
So, but I'm excited about but you got to start treating the Word of God as a common book. That was my point today. Because as you get into the book of Hebrews, you'll learn that you're not carnal. That's what Paul said here. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, you are not carnal. You are not carnal. And boy, that just rings through my, yet you are spiritual. You are spiritual beings. So then, therefore, we need to act like that. Let the spirit
be
the spirit, the flesh be the flesh.
Yeah.
Because you're spiritual. And you don't have to always try to feed your spirit flesh stuff. Because flesh wants certain stuff. And then your flesh
don't always
agree with your spirit. Your flesh don't always agree with your mind.
Say that, sir.
Because your mind will tell your flesh you hungry. And your flesh says, oh, God, I can't take it right now. I'm not going to eat right now. My stomach is upset. So you got to get everything on the one accord. Because your stomach can tell your mind you want something to eat, but your mind don't know what you want to tell your stomach to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go there with time today, but I'm telling you, because there have been times, I think about Evangelist Sharon, there have been times that I wanted to eat certain things, and because I had a tooth or something extracted, then I couldn't eat it, but it didn't change my stomach. It didn't change my belt. I felt like I needed to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody told me it was mind over matter. And I said, what is that? They said, if it ain't mind, it don't matter. If it's not in your mind, it don't matter, so get it out. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to come right back full circle. Say, no, I want something to eat, see. So your body want one thing, your mind want one thing, and your spirit want one thing. Your spirit wants instruction from Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Y'all didn't hear that. I know you didn't hear it, but it's okay. But I want you to hear it. Your spirit man wants instruction from the master.
Hallelujah.
And you can't get it unless you get in the word so the master can speak to you. See, God orchestrated this thing. He designed these things like this. I didn't do this. He designed it. So if you're going to really talk to him, here's the condition. You got to abide in the word, and the word got to abide in you. See, it has to be in you, and you have to be in it. You can't go, it says blink, it says paperclip, it says, now, you got to get into it, living in there, abiding, standing there, and then he going to speak to you, and it's going to be clear. It's going to be real clear.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. It's going to be clear, and it's going to be distinct. And when you read it, and I mean, I've experienced some of y'all going there, boy, and the scripture just jumped out to you. No, it's going to do more than that. It's going to bother you. It's going to work on your mind. It's going to work on your spirit, man.
Yeah.
And you'll be like Jeremiah. It's like fire shut up in my bone. I can't stop.
Yeah. Amen.
But, hey, y'all stay blessed, and we'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word at Noon. Thanks for joining.